Hello and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute with your hosts, Lisa McNett and Debbie Sherman. Tune in for mind-blowing conversations on how to be more conscious and present in your life.
Topics we cover include healing, spirituality, introspective breathwork, astrology, dreams, alternate states of consciousness, and so much more. Hear from us and our interesting guests. Make sure to follow and subscribe to easily find us and listen again.
Okay, thank you and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute. I am Lisa McNett, founder of One Breath Institute and podcast host for today. And today with me, I have a guest that I'm really excited to be speaking with. We have John Kelly. And John, yes, John is one of our, I was going to say one of our students, our student graduates. John is already a breathwork facilitator and continuing training with us and also part of our leadership team. John recently joined our leadership team, which is amazing, but there's so much more to John as well. So let me read John's bio. John is an adventurer and truth seeker, committed to the path of growth and self-discovery. He currently resides in Vietnam and has been living abroad for the last decade. John is a One Breath Institute certified breathwork facilitator and an ICF associate certified coach. His journey with One Breath Institute began at a deep-rooted desire to be part of the inspiring mission to create an international healing community. His transformative experience as a breathwork facilitator have not only sharpened his sense of purpose, but unveiled a clearer vision of his role to support and guide as many people as possible on their unique paths of healing, exploration, and growth. I love it. I just like, ah. Outside of OBI, John offers transformation coaching and breathwork facilitation. His programs blend coaching with introspective breathwork therapy, each tailored to resonate with the unique individual needs of his clients. While he's dedicated to supporting all people seeking a deep, lasting change in their life, he specializes in guiding men to navigate through emotional blockages, overcome limiting beliefs, and embrace the essence of their masculinity. Yeah, which I think that we need in the world right now. So thank you for the work that you are doing. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me on. I'm very much looking forward to having this conversation with you.
Awesome. So many questions I have. And I think the first one that I have is about living in Vietnam, or you're, you know, living abroad and living in Vietnam, and like how that happened, why that happened, you know, what it's like, whatever you want to share with us.
Sure. So I've been abroad for almost 11 years now, and I left the U.S. back in 2013. A lot of things kind of added up to me making the decision to actually leave the United States and go abroad. And originally, it wasn't supposed to be a 10-year plus journey. It was supposed to be a year, maximum two, and then I'd end up going back to the States. But after traveling and then living abroad, like there's so many things that have just kept me abroad, and freedom is one of those. I feel like when you live abroad, there's a lot of freedom that comes with that. One of the things that makes it really free is the fact that you're kind of free to kind of just do and be whoever you want to be. And so I've been really enjoying that, and it's been a heck of a journey.
Okay. Free to be freedom and free to be whoever you want to be and do whatever you want to do. It's slightly different what you said, but You know, when I heard freedom, like a lot of people would think like America, America has a lot of freedom. And we're not even going to really go in that direction too much. There is and there isn't in many ways. And I'm just curious about your, like, what does that mean to you? You said freedom to be whoever I want to be. So I guess, how can you be whoever you want to be and somewhere else and maybe not in the US?
So when you're an expat, you're free from any sort of like outside societal expectation. And I feel like when I was living in the US, there was constant pressure to be a certain kind of person, earn a certain amount of money, have a certain type of car, have a certain type of job. And being abroad, like, you're completely separate from the culture that you're living in. And so there's that outside pressure isn't there. And so that's a really freeing thing. There's a negative side to the coin with that too, in that you'll never really be fully immersed in the place that you're living in. But for me anyway, like, I really enjoy that freedom and what comes with that. Outside of that too, depending on where in the world that you're living in, me living in Vietnam right now, being that it's a developing country, also comes with a very low cost of living. And so low cost of living means that I don't have to work a ton to be able to provide for myself. And being that I don't have to work a ton, that gives me a lot of free time to focus on the things that I actually want to focus on, study the things that I want to focus on, and do what it is that I want to do.
Yeah, that really makes so much sense. It makes so much sense in so many ways. You're speaking to just that keeping up with the Jones mentality in some ways, you know, societal pressures that really do bombard you from, depending on what kind of family system you grow up in. It doesn't really matter what kind of family system you grow up in the US. You know, you are exposed to so much constant external pressure from such a young age of what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to live. And it all comes at a high expense, let's just say, like, in many different ways, financial expense, which means expense of maybe our soul. And breaking free from that, you know, we can break free from that for sure. But I imagine it's a lot easier to break free from that when you are in another culture where you're not being bombarded with it on a daily basis. And then, yeah, it's just the expense, you know, I sometimes think I've thought of that before, you know, living. I was just talking to my husband about that yesterday or a couple of days ago. I was like, so-and-so is moving to Thailand, and wow, you know, like, not only would it be beautiful, but we would be millionaires if we were living in Thailand, you know, because there's areas still in that place that you can live relatively inexpensive. So what, why Vietnam, and what do you love about Vietnam?
So Vietnam actually wasn't my first choice. So when I originally left the US, my plan was to travel for a few months, get a teaching certification, and then live and work in Thailand. And that 3 months turned into 1 year and ended up spending all my money. And I did get my teaching certification in Thailand, but the job opportunities weren't very good there. So I ended up choosing Vietnam, where you got paid a lot more money for doing the same type of work with a very similar cost of living. So ended up choosing Vietnam. And I liked it the first stint for all of the reasons that I just mentioned about, like, the freedom aspect and the cost of living. And at first, you know, it was very much an adventure and kind of just got very comfortable here. And so I ended up staying in Vietnam for the first time for 6 years, and then I left and I went to South America for a few years. And then I came back about a year and a half ago. I have a good social network here, and so that's kind of what brought me back. And but actually, I'm going to be leaving here pretty soon and possibly going to Bali or some other location. And yeah.
Okay, well, I think I just have one more I just have one more question. Do you speak Vietnamese, or how many lang do you speak any other languages?
So I speak very, very basic Vietnamese, and I speak a bit more Spanish than I do Vietnamese. My Spanish is a lot better than my Vietnamese,
Okay.
and I picked that up when I was over in South America for those few years.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Well, I'm looking forward to following your continued travels, being somebody who loves traveling and had the opportunity to spend those 3 months in India. And there I'm one I guess I'm not done reflecting, because when you if nobody if you if nobody has ever gone to another country, if you've never found yourself in another country, or a country like Vietnam or India or Asia, just some developing country, or some country where you maybe don't speak the language. There's so much personal growth that comes in finding yourself in that environment and being in that environment. That's my experience anyway, coming into a completely 100% different culture where you just don't fit, and you are the minority, and you see how much privilege you really had. Even if you, like for me, I grew up poor, but I still lived in a house that had running water and toilets. And so, there are just things that when you travel and you see, it really alters your perspective of yourself and your life, and it alters you.
100%. And I definitely found that to be the case as well. And then being abroad for as many years that I've been abroad, like I also find it difficult to, when I do go back to the States, to kind of reimmerse myself back into American culture, just because I feel that I've transformed in so many ways, from being abroad, and then for a lot of other reasons too. But yeah.
It almost doesn't fit anymore. Yeah, makes sense. Okay. So, yeah, I imagine there's a lot of healing that has happened for you personally. I mean, you've gone on, we touched a little bit about personal growth that has happened just through the experience of traveling, but you're also immersed in these healing practices and becoming a coach and eventually finding breath work. So, what would you like to share about your personal healing journey?
Sure. I guess maybe I could start from the beginning, or at least maybe like what I feel like is a significant starting point, and then kind of what's led me to where I'm at right now.
Perfect.
So before I left the States in 2013, I started therapy, and there were a lot of things that were coming up for me at that time that I was struggling with, and I sought out a therapist, and I saw a therapist for 6 or 7 months. And then after those 6 or 7 months, then I decided to leave the US, did my traveling for a year, spent some time in Nepal, in India, did some meditation retreats in both of those places. And then once I landed in Vietnam, I continued therapy, and I did that for another 3 or 4 years. And I'd say like during that time, like a lot of stuff was worked through, and the therapy helped quite a bit, but it didn't really touch on the super deep stuff. Like it, I felt like there was a mess going on, and therapy kind of helped to, I guess, recognize what the mess was and kind of connect the dots of like, I feel this way because this and this happened, and that and that happened, so that emotion comes, and kind of just making sense of the mess, but the mess was still the mess. And so like I got some decent results out of therapy, but like I definitely felt like there was much more to explore. And so after my first stint in Vietnam and then leaving for South America, I was listening to a few different people on YouTube, and I came across this book that was recommended by one of these people that I was listening to, and it was Letting Go by David Hawkins. And I started reading that. And at the time I was in Argentina, or I had just landed in Argentina, and it was on March 7th, 2020. And then so less than 2 weeks later, COVID happened, lockdown happened, and stuck in this small little apartment by myself and going through this book, listening to what this guy has to say about this topic. And like, it really, really resonated with me, the concept in this book. And the first stage of lockdown was super challenging for me, because I felt like all the things that I hadn't worked through up until that point, like they were just all kind of just presenting themselves all at once. And it was very, very overwhelming. And I then began to apply the technique in this book. And I felt like I understood it on a deep level, like very quickly. And that led to some very profound releases, like where I could feel emotions just flying out of my body. And like it like during that time too, it felt unreal and unbelievable, because like these sorts of concepts go against the Western rational mind. And like it didn't feel like I should be experiencing this, but I was experiencing it. And I kept practicing this. And then throughout the rest of the lockdown, things got a bit better. And then continued with this technique and then just moved forward with that. And then that led me down that road. Then from that point, after letting go, towards the end of my time in Argentina, I committed myself fully to that technique and meditation. And then I kind of stumbled upon an ayahuasca retreat in Ecuador that I decided to stay at. And I was there for 2 months, went through a whole process of the ayahuasca tradition. And then there's a whole nother like portion after that, which kind of leads to breath work. But I guess maybe we could stop there and then kind of mosey on from there.
Yeah. You land in Argentina, March 2020. Mm-hmm. You get a small apartment, and then you are trapped in that small apartment with all of the things that you found. Like, you, the way you were speaking about, you went to therapy, and you had all of these dots come up. You know, it's like you see everything that's in the house. Everything that's in the house of cards, I'm going to call it, you know, are like, okay, this is why I'm feeling this way. This, it's all adding up. All these dots are here. Great. Now I know, but I'm just stuck with it. And now you're stuck with it in a small apartment in Argentina, where that sounds tough. And you had the perfect resource. You had this book, this Letting Go by Hawkins book that you had just started reading. And it's almost like, I mean, I don't know your perspective, but I believe that when I listen and I follow, I'm being guided. And it's almost like, you know, you had already done meditation. You had already done these meditation retreats. So you had already had some experience with going inside yourself. And now you were just like, okay, you just got to stay in this one place. You're going to stay in this one place and just be inside in all the ways with yourself and all the stuff. But here's this tool. Like, you have the tool. You have all these other tools. You have all these other resources that you've already acquired. And so I have not read this book, Letting Go by Hawkins. So can you just summarize what that technique is?
So there's David Hawkins' Letting Go, and then there's another book out there called The Sedona Method. And so if you were ever interested in the technique, that those would be two good books to read. But to summarize what the technique is when you recognize that an emotion is someplace in your body, you allow it to be there. And then from that place of allowance, you allow it to run its course and release from your body. And I've done a lot of thinking in terms of like the best way to kind of explain like what the process is. Like David Hawkins has his own way of explaining it, but it can be a bit confusing in the book. And I feel like what's actually taking place or what's allowing like the emotions to actually release from the body is experiencing them from like complete presence. Like, so no place of the mind is involved in this process. And when it's experienced through presence, there's pure allowance that's taking place. And that's what allows it to do what it's going to do. And like for me, sometimes like I felt emotions like go up, down my feet, up my body, out my head. And or it would just do like this, you know, just go through this process of up and down and then finally release. Or sometimes it was very subtle and then it would just kind of dissolve. And then I'd be left like with this feeling of like relief as if like I had just cried, but I didn't cry, but it was the same sort of relief that would come from it. And I feel like this technique is almost like, or at least the concept of this technique is almost the foundation of many healing modalities of like feeling, allowing, and allowing it to process. And then it's more about getting to that place of experiencing it through that place of pure presence.
Yeah, that's fascinating because, yeah, it sounds similar to our philosophy at OBI, at One Breath Institute, of being present with what is and allowing it to be there. But also it also sounds different because it sounds like a different process of like you're tracking the emotion and it sounds like there's an energetic component to it of it, you know, tracking it, allowing it to move through, and it's releasing maybe without feeling the depth or the intensity of that emotion. Because you mentioned, like, it felt like I had this huge release through crying, but I didn't actually cry.
But you would experience, like, the deeper and harder the emotion is, and the more that you feel it fully, that's like, it's basically like you have to feel the emotion 100%, like for all that it is, for it to fully release. Like it can be done in different stages, like top layer, middle layer, bottom layer, but all like the full depth of it has to be experienced before it can actually release.
Okay. Yeah. So you are feeling it fully and completely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds like really powerful work, really profound work, work that a lot of people would run away from. And I guess if you're just in a small apartment in Argentina, you can't run away from it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you wanted to anyway, but we oftentimes do. I mean, that's one blessing and one gift, I think, that came from 2020 that a lot of people experienced. You know, you either made the choice to really be with and confront your life because that's what we were all doing. We had the opportunity to do because life stopped. So is the life that I'm living the one that I want? And, you know, or, yeah, so I feel like there was a very big split in people around that time because people either chose to be with or something else. And I don't know what those words are, and I'm not placing judgment on it, but a lot of persons allowed themselves to transform in some way during that time. And it sounds like, it sounds like that probably was not easy.
It was definitely not easy, but it was like, it's like when I look back at how, like, kind of all the steps that led up to that, like, I felt like it was also meant to be that way. And because from that one experience, like I felt like I got so much more clarity on what it is that I want to do and how it is that I want to grow and then how it is that I want to help people. Like in my bio, it mentions that I'm an ICF coach.
Yeah.
And before I got that certification, like I've known for a really long time that I wanted to help people, but goal setting and success and all that stuff, like it's cool and it's good, but it just didn't feel deep enough. And I didn't, you know, I wanted something much deeper. And once I, like I experienced that technique on a very deep level, that gave clarity on how people can actually transform and how I can then help kind of guide people through their own processes.
Perfect. Yeah. So then what was next? Or, you know, what do you want to share about what was next with you? You got more clarity on your purpose and how you want to help people, and you really want to help people get to the deeper stuff and transform themselves. And now it's particularly men. I imagine you work with everybody, but you did speak to particularly men, which I feel like is so needed, and appreciate, you know, that focus. So you have more clarity, and then what?
So I had this clarity, then carried it through to my rest, like the rest of my time in Argentina. And in September 2021, I quit my job and decided that I was just going to dedicate all of my time to my own growth and myself. And then so there was a period of about 3 months where I basically turned my apartment into this small little monastery where I had a very set regimen, meditation in the morning, letting go basically throughout the day, but then more meditation in the afternoon, meditation in the evening, and exercise and all these other things kind of mixed in. And then it came to the point where I wanted to leave Buenos Aires, which is where I was staying, and go somewhere in nature. And I was looking for some kind of a retreat center that would be able to allow me to be in nature and do my practices. And so then I came across this ayahuasca retreat that offered you could stay there as a resident for a couple months and you didn't have to do the ayahuasca ceremonies. And so at first, like that sounded like a really good option. And then there weren't other places around South America that was offering something similar. So then decided to do that, but then also decided to take part in the ayahuasca rituals. So went to the retreat and had a really good experience, met a lot of really interesting people, connected with a lot of people. The ayahuasca part itself, I felt like I definitely got something out of it, but what was more healing was kind of just being in the company of other people that were going through their own challenges and experiences and just connecting with them on a deeper level. And then following that, I then went from Ecuador to Guatemala and spent a little bit of time in Guatemala and came across this lady that was offering conscious connected breath work. When I was doing research, because I was interested in breath work at the time, and I came across this lady and I felt a very strong connection. I didn't even met her, but I knew that there was going to be a connection there, and ended up doing 3 sessions with her. They were very, very deep, very, very healing. And then after Guatemala, did some more traveling around, but then ended up back in Vietnam. And then shortly after, that's when I joined OBI.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot in that story. There's a lot. So, yeah, I'm thinking about, the monastery. I'm thinking about the different cycles that we go through, there's like different stages that we go through, I feel, when we're on this healing journey and this healing path. And so, going from that stage of like, okay, I'm going to be very disciplined with my practices. Just the monastery, the private monastery. And then, okay, now it's time to go out in nature. So let me go out in nature and let me be around people and, and be at this center that is providing healing, the Ayahuasca Center. But okay, ayahuasca is healing, so let me try that and see what happens there, and having that experience, but really recognizing that it was more the community aspect and the going deep with the community that supported you maybe more. And then the next leg of your journey after some more travel is finding that conscious connected breath and having that deep and powerful experience with the breath that eventually leads you to finding us somehow. Somehow in the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
Fascinating. You know, I'm thinking about something that we haven't mentioned yet, is that you have a history of martial arts, a lot of years of martial arts. And so when you mention that discipline and exercise, that made me think about the martial arts. And so I'm curious, I know nothing about your history with martial arts, so I'm just curious about it. And I'm also curious how it might have, if it did or if it does in any way, intertwine with your path, your healing path.
So yeah, I started studying martial arts when I was 8 years old. I did it for a couple years, and there was a couple year break, and then I got back into it around 12 or 13 years old. And then from 12 or 13, it was full on for the next 8-9 years after that. And I got a lot out of martial arts. Martial arts was an obsession of mine for a really long time. And in terms of like maybe how that, like it definitely is part of the path in a way. And I would say a lot of it maybe is partly through discipline, partly through connecting with the self to be able to do certain forms and techniques, and then connecting with your opponent and aspects like that. But I feel like a lot of it too with the martial arts experience was that when I was doing it, I knew that it was for my own growth as well. It's just like growing and developing in a practice. And I knew that on some level at a very young age. And then now when I reflect upon it, like I think, yeah, that was probably the biggest part, is growing in something and then being able to transfer that to growing in a different way, but with a similar level of commitment.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Because yeah, not everybody has discipline or can develop discipline right away. And so, yeah, that's just what came up for me, is that discipline piece. But yeah, you started so young, and it feels, yeah, I'm hearing you say there's a recognition that even at that young age, there was some recognition, or maybe not at that time, but just the personal growth and how I'm imagining it supported you in your life in ways that you needed during the time that you were part of it. And now you're being supported in your life by different things in different ways.
100%. Yeah. It provided this very strong foundation for me to work off of. And like it gave me a lot of confidence at a very young age. It taught me discipline. It taught me that if I work really hard at something, I can achieve what it is that I want to achieve. And yeah, I feel like those are some of the main takeaways from that experience.
Okay. Yeah. So you find One Breath Institute through the interwebs. And is there anything that you want to say about about finding One Breath Institute or training with One Breath Institute or what you may have gotten through breath work up until this point and how it informs what your offerings look like now? Just anywhere you want to go with that.
So yeah, when I came back to Vietnam and then after my experiences of breath work in Guatemala, Like I let my experiences kind of simmer and just let them kind of integrate in the way that they were going to integrate. And then I decided that, yeah, I was going to finish this coaching program that I had started previously. And so I started that. And then I had the idea of wanting to become a breathwork coach. I forget exactly how it is that I came across the term breathwork coach, but then I basically researched every single breathwork school that is out there. When I research, I research. I literally think every single one that's out there. I had a couple of requirements that were really important to me. One, it was the technique of conscious connected breathwork. The timing was also important because I'm in Vietnam, and then if I'm going to be studying at a place that's based out of the US, then it's got to line up that way. Then there's got to be a spiritual component to it as well as a business component. And so, there's kind of a lot of things that I was looking for, and a lot of schools ticked a couple of the boxes, but then were missing the other things. And then when I had the discovery call with One Breath Institute, it was obvious from the first few seconds that it was the right place for me. And so started the program shortly after that. And it's been a really good experience. Definitely lots of growth has taken place over the last about a year or so. And I feel like, yeah, I've been given a really good foundation in the breathwork facilitation process. And then I have something that I can kind of mold into my own brand in a way and kind of formulate in a way to for the I guess my niche that I'm working for, or that I'm aiming to attract. And yeah, I feel like that's yeah.
I'm just laughing still about how you interviewed of like every or researched every single breathwork school. It's a big decision. It can be a big decision. And that's a lot of boxes to tick off. And we've only had so far two classes that started at 8 a.m. Because your class, I was thinking about what time your class started, and it was 8 a.m., which would have lined up with that 8 p.m. ish time in Vietnam. And it's hard to meet all of the time zones, and it's fun to meet as many time zones as we can because we get to connect with people all over the world. So, and then you have freedom. I'm going to use that word again that you brought in the beginning, freedom. To apply what you, I mean, that's a big part of training with us. I'm like, I don't want to make this a plug about training with us, but just highlighting that piece of, we're not telling you this is what you need to do. We're supporting you in learning and integrating what we have to offer. And so that you can find the way that you want to use it and make it your brand, make it your niche. How are you going to use this in the world? And so it's great that that is coming together for you. So if somebody wants to work with you, how do they find you?
So two main channels right now. Facebook.com//breathwork and coaching. And then I have a website that's geared specifically for my breathwork practices, and that is inhaleexhale.net, not dot com, dot net.
Inhaleexhale.net. And yes, we can see that on John's name. If you are watching this on YouTube, this is going to be streamed all the places. So we'll have all of those links underneath this recording so that you can click and you can find John. And you carry so much wisdom and knowledge. And so I'm not going to prompt it. Just what would you share? What would you like to share? Like, what is just something off the cuff that you feel like our listeners may benefit from hearing right now?
So one of the biggest things that helped me continue my own growth was making that solid commitment that I was going to actually work on the parts of myself that I wanted to heal, and the things that I wanted to release, and the things I just wanted to move forward from. So I feel like it's what helped me the most, and like, is that commitment piece. And then that commitment setting in, not here, but like on that very deep rooted level, like that desire that, like, basically that there's no other way to live aside from growing. And I feel like that is an important thing to remember.
That's such great advice. Yeah, I love the way that you said, you know, that commitment, not just here in the mind, but like on a deep embodied level, because there are the days that get really hard on the personal growth journey, and there are the days that get really hard. And if we don't have that really deep, deep, deep commitment, then on the days that get hard, we can much more easily give up on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And there will absolutely be those difficult days. Absolutely will be those difficult days. And it's just that commitment piece. And if that commitment's there and you're able to face those difficult days and move beyond them, like you have successfully moved forward another step.
Yeah. And you don't have to do it alone too, you know, because parts of your journey, you know, you were working with a therapist for a while. And then, you know, you were alone in the apartment in Buenos Aires, but you had the tools already. You had the therapist, you had gone and done these meditation retreats, you had this book. And then when it was time to go back out into the world, you went out into nature, you connected with nature, you found a community of healing to connect with. And those are all, you know, those were all pieces that I really heard you say that support, and you're learning, you know, all of the different learning pieces that you took as well. Those were all pieces that supported your healing and your growth and your learning at different times, not escape pieces. And so, yeah, that just feels like a good reminder too, is that you don't have to do it alone. Seek out the resources, and a really amazing resource is John. You know, and especially men. You know, men. A lot of men have a hard time going to a therapist or even admitting, you know, accessing emotions, even admitting or acknowledging that there might be some work for me to do, for them to do. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, men supporting men, there's so many women supporting women out there, and women supporting men as well. I have a lot of male clientele, but men supporting men, I feel like, and I'm just projecting because I don't know, but it just feels like such a potent possibility for really deep healing and transformation.
100%. Like I remember, yeah, when I first started the therapy journey, there was maybe one or two people that I let know that I was going through that. But then now, as I feel like I've grown quite a bit since then, there's no shame or anything that I have towards that. And I feel like that's how it should be. Like it's okay to seek out resources or seek out help or support in whatever form that you feel comfortable with.
Absolutely. Okay. So yeah, inhaleexhale.net. inhaleexhale.net is how you can find John, and also Facebook, and I'll pull that up again, or you can say it again. But is there any final words, any closing words, any last thoughts? It doesn't have to be, but if there is, they're welcome.
I think we're good. I really enjoyed this conversation. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have also really enjoyed this conversation. I'm going to pull that up. So it's facebook.com/breathworkandcoaching. And also, yeah, inhaleexhale.net. And those links, again, will be underneath all of these pieces. And let's just take a breath to just integrate this conversation. Okay, thank you, John. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll see you next time. I look forward to seeing more from you, John. And we'll see you next time for another Conscious Conversations for the audience. So,
bye-bye.
If you're hearing this message,